Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Generation Y ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible, starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia of being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. From Wondery.
How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm good, Justin. How are you?
I can be doing better.
What? You seem to be in good spirits, man.
I am. And I'm actually excited about tonight's case. But before we get into that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Tonight's case is a international story. It's a case that if you don't live in America, I'm sure most of you have heard of this. But if you do live in America, buckle up, because this is some crazy stuff that you only see movies about this. Like, you can't script this in real life, but here we have it. So with that, what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
The case is titled Kalinka Bamberski. In a nutshell, it's about the death of a teenage girl and her father's pursuit of justice in a world that is seemingly aligned against him. Our disclaimer, we're Americans and we will mispronounce things, but you'll have to cut us some slack. We are covering an international case, and this is what we've had many requests for, international cases. and Justin chose this one. So here you go.
All right. This happened on July 10th, 1982 in, I think, Lindau, Germany.
Kalinka Bamberski was 14 years old at the time, and she was the daughter of Andre Bamberski and his wife, Danielle.
She was born on August 7th, 1967. She was very active as a teenager. She did windsurfing, ice skating, skiing, blue-eyed, blonde hair, happy-go-lucky teenager. Life was good. Her father, Andre, was 44 years old. He was a successful accountant, and he had started a new relationship and ended up marrying Danielle. So Andre and Danielle start to have issues in their marriage. Apparently, Danielle has found another man in her life by the name of Dieter Krombach. Now, Dieter was born May 5th, 1935. He was 28. He had another wife before this. They had two children, Boris and Diana. When she met him, they lived in the same city and in the same vicinity. So Danielle fell in love with him. She found him to be very handsome, and they had a lot of chemistry, unlike her husband, Andre. So it's said that they had an affair for, I don't know, a year or two when the Bamberskis moved to a French town near the city of Toulouse. Krombach had taken an apartment in order to see Danielle because Krombach is a doctor and he's very rich. So the next year, Danielle would end up leaving Andre and her children for this doctor named Dieter Krombach. And in the 1980s, Bamberski lived in this town with the children as a single father, but he was unable to afford childcare. So he decided to move back to Morocco to be with his family. But his ex-wife, Danielle, didn't like this plan. She's like, "You're taking the kids to Morocco? What?" I want custody of the children.
Yeah, she took it to the courts and they sided with her. And she ended up getting custody. This was said to be very difficult for Andre, but this is how it was. Kalinka and Nicholas, his children, went to live with their mom and her new husband in Lindau. Somewhere along the way, though, it was either in August or September of 82, they decided that they would go back to live with their dad, but this is not what happens.
No. So it's about a month away from the time they're supposed to go back with dad, and it's Saturday, July 10th, 1982, at 11 a.m., Andre Bamberski receives a call from his ex-wife, Danielle. She was calling him to say that Kalinka, their only daughter, had died. She said that she had died during the night, and she didn't know how, but there would be an autopsy. Just, she died, and we're moving on. I'll let you know what we find out. She didn't really give a lot of details. This, of course, is going to greatly upset Andre because his only daughter is now dead and he has zero answers.
Yeah, and it's upsetting also because it just doesn't make sense. Like, to him, something must have happened because his daughter was very athletic, very healthy. This is just not anything that he would have ever expected. It's not like there was an auto accident. It's not like she was found in the street somewhere.
And her stepdad, now Dieter, is a doctor. Comes out that he was the one that found her unconscious and had called emergency services in this small German town where the family was living. Later, Dr. Jobst would be examining Kalinka's body, and Krombach told him the day before at around 7:30 p.m. that he had actually injected her with a compound to make her tan easier. I don't know if that exists in real life. I tried to look it up, but 1982, not sure if that was a thing, but according to Krombach, that's what he was doing.
Yeah, there's a name for the compound, but apparently he didn't tell the doctor what it was, although it came out later.
Now, Jobst determined her time of death was around 3 a.m. And of course, these details are not known to Andre yet. So 2 days after his daughter's death, two doctors are conducting the autopsy. Andre believes that Krombach was present during the autopsy, which why would the stepfather be there during an autopsy of the daughter, especially if they're trying to determine if foul play was at fault here. But German authorities maintain that Krombach was not inside the room during the autopsy and only spoke to doctors after the autopsy was performed. These doctors wrote up a 16-page report noting that the teenager's vaginal area had fresh blood around it, had been torn, and that there was a white substance found. We have what appears to be a sexual assault. He also noted multiple injection sites on her right leg, arms, and thorax. There was also undigested food in her stomach.
And her stepfather is a doctor, and now we have his stepdaughter with injection sites. She was found by her stepfather, who, when he lays out the timeline, apparently this teenager should have been asleep for 7-8 hours. She shouldn't have had undigested food in her stomach, because apparently she died in her sleep. Kalinka had windsurfed on Lake Constance, and then about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, she got back home, and according to her stepfather and mother, Dieter and Danielle, she seemed really tired, and she wasn't feeling so good. At 7:30, she ate, but then she went to bed. Now, her stepdad said she got a drink of water at about 10 p.m., and then was reading for a bit, and then went to bed at midnight, because he stopped by and said, hey, it's time to go to bed. So she went to bed. Now, this is his testimony. This is what he's saying occurred. And then, of course, the next morning, Krombach, who was getting ready to go out for a horseback ride through the mountains, stopped by to check on her. He found Kalinka on her right side, lying in her bed, dead. That's when he proceeded to inject her with various stimulants. But again, this is all very suspicious, and the doctor's account doesn't really add up. What we're going to find here, though, is that this Dr. Krombach is very well respected, and when he talks, people listen.
So they had spoken to this doctor one time on the day he found the daughter. And despite the autopsy findings, police didn't go back and interview him. But then the commissioner called Krombach, and that's when he told a slightly different story. He told the commissioner that he had actually injected Kalinka with cobalt and iron to treat anemia. So he's gone from a tanning substance to anemia.
Well, but it's something that he can say because this commissioner has no idea about Kalinka's medical history and doesn't know that she didn't have anemia.
He goes on to say that he found her unconscious and then he injected her with dopamine, trying to increase her heart rate and Dilaudid to, I guess, help her with pain, something to that effect. So he injected her with iron cobalt. And then when he found her unconscious, he's trying to help her with these other injections. Because I guess he has to explain, why are there multiple injection sites on this dead girl's body?
At this time, though, there was no toxicology tests run. This is a problem because even though we can say the doctor's story doesn't add up, this girl appears to have been raped, it's as though the authorities are saying, we don't care because the doctor says it's this. So we're going to believe him. We trust him. He's a respectable doctor. You can see this is getting off to a bad start. So if Kalinka died between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., about 8 hours after she had eaten, again, why does she have undigested food in her stomach? And then why does she appear to be a victim of a rape when the doctor's saying, well, she went to bed and she slept for 7 or 8 hours and she must have died in her sleep?
And during this autopsy, they remove all of her sexual organs. so they can't be looked at in the future.
They remove them, and then apparently they get rid of them.
Yeah. Now, Andre has been waiting for the autopsy results. 3 months. He has no idea why his daughter died that night. And by this time, the case has been closed.
The German prosecutor named Schnabel had closed the case because he said, there's no foul play here. What? You could put anybody in that room, from experts to non-experts. I don't know how you find someone to say no foul play with multiple injection sites and an apparent rape, plus injuries to this poor girl.
Well, and that's exactly what happens here is Andre is looking at the autopsy report and saying, any fool can see that this doesn't add up. And he tried to get the case reopened. He wrote a letter to the prosecutor. He asked for proper forensic tests to be conducted, tissues extracted from his daughter's body. All of his requests would be denied.
He even contacted Danielle, telling her, this is important. We need to find justice for our daughter. And his ex-wife's response was essentially, let her rest in peace. You're dishonoring her. This is really just an unbelievable case at this point. And we say all the time, oh, if someone hurt my daughter, what would I do? I'm sure you've had conversations with people, right? Someone's told you, oh, I would do this or that. I wouldn't just let things slide. At this point, what is he supposed to do? Because the authorities are telling him, no foul play. We're not going to really test anything. It's over. We're just going to bury her. Move on. He loves his daughter, and he's not going to move on.
Well, the first thing he does is he hires a famous German lawyer named Rolf Bossi. I hope I'm saying that right. And he was there to convince the prosecutor to review the autopsy and take it to the Munich Forensic Institute. He concluded that the iron cobalt injections were given to Kalinka later than dinner time, which, again, that's the time frame we're working with here, is they said that they gave it to her at dinner time, and then she's dying at after 3 a.m. So they're saying that doesn't add up here.
But they don't do anything else. I mean, this three-doctor team, all they really do is look into the undigested food situation, and that's it. They don't look at anything else. But, of course, this new attorney does get other things done. I mean, he gets the commissioner to interview other witnesses. And so they talk to her brother, which is Nicholas, and they talk to Krombach's two kids. Their accounts don't line up with the good doctors, which is interesting. You know, these kids are being honest. The doctor, as we all know, is not.
They all claim that she was healthy, showed no signs of any kind of ailment, and Danielle reported that she was not present when her daughter received the injection, but that she knew it was after dinner. So all of these accounts are totally challenging Krombach's statements. But again, German authorities say, well, it's insufficient evidence. Now, September 30th, 1983, Beerfest is taking place, and Bamberski goes and pays a visit, right?
Yeah, he had printed up a bunch of leaflets that he was just distributing to all the local people there.
Coupons for free beer, right?
Yeah, no. No, he was letting everyone know that there was a certain doctor in their town who had raped and murdered his daughter.
He had actually doxed Krombach with his name and address and claimed that he was being protected by powerful people. Now, 2 hours later, Andre, who distributed these flyers, is detained. And Krombach sues him for defamation and wins 500,000 German marks. I think it's 150,000 pounds. And Bamberski was also warned that if he was to repeat his actions, he could spend 6 months behind bars. For his little what to do in this German town with his leaflets, he's now been fined 500,000 German marks and threatened with jail time.
But that doesn't stop him, because his next step is to simply mail leaflets to the people in that town. And, well, you'd think the cost would add up. But again, money is no object at this point. He's just trying to get justice.
Yeah.
And this is his way of applying pressure to the situation. They do that nowadays. You can send out a tweet. You can make a Facebook post. You can get people on your side. You can inform them about things. And that's what he was doing back then.
Yeah. He was publicly shaming. Now, in 1984, Bamberski gets a French lawyer, and they submit a complaint to the Paris Court of Law against Krombach. But this complaint is filed away, and it's suspected that they're not taking it seriously because Krombach has diplomatic status, and it's rumored that he worked as a spy in Casablanca. So this complaint, going through proper channels again, is going nowhere.
That same year, Danielle left Dieter because she found out that while they were married, Krombach was drugging her so she would be out of it and he could sneak a teenager into their home. It was his way of having an affair with his wife in the house. And she was just oblivious to it because she was unconscious.
Now, that's really sick and disgusting, but I guess it's starting a pattern. Now, in 1985, this is 3 years later, we're not getting any movement on this. Andre Bamberski finally gets a reply from the German authorities about his request to have his daughter's organs reanalyzed and forensically tested. And again, they were told that they could not proceed with his demands since the organs were sent back to France along with the body. So they got her body exhumed, but the organs were nowhere to be found. So he's been lied to. They said that they sent it all back, but all the crucial evidence is gone. So the German authorities refused to reopen the case and do anything against Krombach.
I know earlier you said that the French authorities seem to not care, but I think really what's going on is they need cooperation. The only cooperation they have is with Andre. Well, he's the father. Of course, he's cooperating, but the German authorities, they don't care. So they're sort of stuck. They need more information. And so with the continued refusal by the German government to allow any kind of cooperation here, their hands are kind of tied. But as we'll find out, the insistence of Andre to get this case reopened will eventually pay off. But, you know, along the way here, he's been putting in a lot of time, money, effort, sweat, and he's getting no cooperation, really. I mean, either people say we sympathize, but we can't do anything, or they say go away or let your daughter rest in peace. So eventually, you know, he's finding himself very disheartened and he wants to give up. But, you know, at the end of the day, he starts thinking about his daughter and what had happened to her. Something inside of him refuses to give this up. So he continues on despite being turned down at every turn.
I would say that little thing inside of him was anger and vengeance.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails, feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
You finally got the French authorities to do forensic testing on tissue samples taken from his daughter.
There's a whole litany of things when they finally ran some tests on the tissues. It's amazing how many things had been injected into Kalinka. And of course, some of these things are listed as you can't put them together at the same time in a human body. But Justin, what kind of things was she injected with? Like we said before, wasn't it supposedly something to help her tan, then things to help kickstart her back because she was not responsive, but also things for pain?
Yeah, which when you talk about Dilaudid or any of these other things, those are suppressants. Those are things that are going to make you unconscious, not wake you up. So his whole statement about this is BS. And in 1988, they concluded that her cause of death was cobalt iron injection, which led to cardiovascular shock and asphyxiation. This injection of cobalt would have caused fever, nausea, vomiting, and if you have an overdose of this, you can be knocked unconscious and then vomit in your sleep and, of course, die from that. This takes place, I've heard, over 20 minutes or less. So, again, putting the injection in the middle of the night at around 3 a.m.
I want to talk briefly about the cause of death, because this is something that never really seemed clear in this case. Look what they're dealing with. Multiple injection sites on an apparently healthy 14-year-old girl who had suddenly died during the night or early morning. And when they talk about her undigested food, they had found food residue all the way from her esophagus down into her stomach. And reviewing all of this evidence, they find that that injection of the iron cobalt is likely what killed her, because that was the injection that happened about the time of death. So putting this stuff together, that's the best they can come up with. But to anyone, this is a very suspicious death.
Of course, the German authorities did not care. So even though French forensic studies show that the injection she received was her cause of death, Germany would do nothing about it.
Well, now they have some forensic proof of foul play.
Absolutely.
Luckily, the French authorities are going to move forward with a trial, although in this case, it's going to be a trial known as a trial in absentia, because Krombach is not going to show up for the trial. May 1993, Krombach, bound to the court in Paris for the murder of Kalinka Bamberski, of course, he's not happy about this. And they have to delay the trial until a couple of years later. But that's just because there's no cooperation here. Not from the German authorities, not from Krombach. Again, we've kind of laid out that they at least have this iron cobalt injection that likely caused Kalinka's death. They have enough to move forward, but it's going to take some time. Now, Krombach, he didn't speak until 1990 and 1991 on this, but he had actually spoken to a German magistrate about the injections, and he was trying to lay out his case. I don't know why this is important, since apparently the German authorities weren't going to go after him and weren't going to hand him over to French authorities, but he laid out his side of things, which is, you know, around 8:30 p.m. on July 9th, he spoke to her. Then about midnight, he spoke to her again. And then he discovered her around 9:30 the next morning. He talked about his attempts to save her. He admitted that some of the things that he injected her with were, quote unquote, incompatible. I think in his mind, he's trying to explain, well, He was panicking a little bit. He's trying to save her, just trying things to help revive her. He also challenges the conclusions that some of the experts had reached. The experts were saying that the injection was made about the time of death, and he was saying it was at 8:30 p.m. the night before. But again, this is a doctor disputing other doctors' findings. And why wouldn't he dispute it? Because it's his butt maybe on the line. But Justin, this finding by the French court that Krombach needed to be prosecuted, they're looking at this as intentionally inflicting bodily harm, which caused unintentional death. It's like they're saying, yeah, he did this, but it wasn't as though he was trying to kill her.
It's almost a manslaughter charge type situation here.
They indict him.
Oh, yeah. At least they get him on something. But yeah, they indict him and he's a no-show because he's back in Germany.
One of the things that the jury found very suspicious, they didn't like that this cobalt iron injection was supposedly used as a tanning agent. They also don't like his statements about Kalinka being anemic. There is nothing supporting either one of these statements by Krombach. Apparently this iron cobalt injection does nothing for tanning, and Kalinka wasn't anemic. Apparently all these resuscitation attempts that he did, so many of them were incompatible with one another. So pretty much all of his statements don't add up. Why couldn't Germany have just done this?
Because they don't care. And if you ever see any interviews with Andre, this is his driving force, is nobody's doing the right thing. So I'm having to do all the footwork. I'm having to hire the lawyers, hire the forensic analysis, all these things, because nobody cares about this doctor who killed my daughter.
The jury at the trial found all these issues, just like we'd mentioned, with the case. And so even though they're trying Krombach in absentia, they have no problem finding him guilty. And what is the sentence that's handed down to this man who's not in court?
Well, he's sentenced to 15 years in prison for the murder of Kalinka. Now, French authorities decided not to issue an international warrant for Krombach's arrest. And like, what's the point? If you're not going to issue that warrant, then how are you going to bring this man to justice?
Well, it's like they're trying to appease both sides here. They're trying to respect the German authorities by saying, well, you're not going to give him up, so we won't request him. But on the other hand, Andre lost his daughter, so we're trying to try a man in absentia because that's all we can do. They're trying to keep both sides happy, but you know, you can't keep both sides happy. This is a juggling act that's not going to work.
So Andre waits, and something happens in 1997, which, if there was any question or doubt of whether or not Krombach had injected his own stepdaughter, inadvertently killing her, well, what happens next will kind of seal the deal in anyone's mind of whether or not this guy had malice intent.
Yeah, 1997, Krombach was arrested in Germany because a student by the name of Laura Stiele had gone to see him. She had stomach issues. And he said, well, we have to run a gastroscopy on you. And he said, it's going to feel a little uncomfortable, so I'll give you some Valium, and that will relax you, and then we'll run this procedure. Well, she ended up waking up with a naked doctor on top of her. She reported him as soon as she could.
So he had injected her with something to knock her out, to rape her.
This 16-year-old went to her parents, went to the authorities, and Krombach was arrested for drugging and raping this young girl.
He would end up pleading guilty in court.
They were going to sentence him 2 years of medical license suspension. So if he was to practice medicine during this time, while it was revoked, he would be further prosecuted. Now, five other patients of his stepped forward and said, we have some stories to tell about things that happened to us, but they didn't have any supporting evidence, so their testimonies were not included.
So for drugging and raping a teenager, He had his medical license suspended for 2 years. He didn't see a day behind bars. He didn't see any kind of criminal prosecution. And then five more women came forward, just playing the score out here.
And I think because the German authorities didn't go after him, he had this feeling that he was invincible and that people really couldn't touch him. I mean, he was allowed to walk out of the courtroom, you know, for this rape of Stiele.
So with this sense of entitlement and immunity, he continued practicing medicine and was caught, thank God, in 2006, and he was sentenced to 28 months in prison. Now, he'd be released in 2008. Now, we got to go back a little bit here. Krombach was married before he met Danielle. His first wife, Monica Hintz, she was 18 years old at the time. She would have two children with Dieter. They would be named Boris and Diana. It was reported that Dieter Krombach was very abusive towards Monica. And after they had two children, Monica died suddenly at age 24. After, wait for it, Krombach had administered an injection to her. Wow, his first wife died at his hands, and it was never investigated. It was just accepted as a mysterious death. This reminds me a lot of the Michael Peterson case and the documentary The Staircase, when you find out about another woman in his life falling down a flight of stairs. And in this case, this guy has injected somebody else and gotten away with it.
In February of 2001, the European Court of Human Rights ruled that the trial in France during 1995 violated clauses of the European Convention of Human Rights because Dieter Krombach was not present to defend himself. So they ordered France to pay the doctor 100,000 francs in compensation.
Krombach is a serial rapist and murderer. Andre Bamberski has done everything in his power to bring this man to justice within the confines of the legal system. Krombach is in Germany. He will not be extradited to France. In France, he is charged with the murder of Kalinka Bamberski. So what would a father do in this situation? What happens next, Aaron?
Well, not every father would do this, but I think many of them would fantasize about doing this. Bamberski hired three men. The way it turned out was he was approached by someone who said, you know, you don't deserve what's been happening to you. Of course, he agrees with that. Next thing we know, in Scheidegg, these three men show up at Dr. Dieter Krombach's home and start beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, I have heard that they might have had Russian accents.
One of them is named Anton. He's from Kosovo. Another one is Kasha from Georgia. That's not the state. And Ivan from Russia. Now, they're beating Dieter up pretty good here.
They bind and gag him and throw him in the back of a van, apparently.
They take him over to Mulhouse, France, and they drop him off near a courthouse, and they call the authorities and say, hey, got a guy here for you.
And when we say drop him off, we mean they chain him to the gate in front of the courthouse, bound, gagged, bloodied, with a severe head injury.
Was there any chance that the French authorities were going to say, he doesn't belong here, he belongs in Germany, we'll send him back?
You know, at this point, I wouldn't have put it past them, but finally, they do the right thing.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Quince. Do you need to upgrade your wardrobe or home essentials at an unbeatable price? Well, Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style, and you'll have them in your closet forever. And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% off less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that are safe, ethical, with responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. How can you not love that? I recently got a duvet cover and a pair of awesome relaxed jeans. They're stretchy too. You can find all kinds of stuff at Quince. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/GenY for free shipping on your first order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/GenY to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/GenY.
How do you think this came about? Because this sounds very much like the 2008 film, The Dark Knight.
Yeah, the scene where the Asian entrepreneur goes back to Hong Kong and the Joker's warning all of the mafiosos that Batman knows no bounds or borders, has no jurisdiction. And Batman goes and picks the guy up and brings him back to America where he'll face charges. And this is a similar situation where he's hired three mercenaries to go and bring the murderer of his daughter back to France for justice.
But Justin, it's not like this guy is chained up and then they pick him up and they take him in and they've got him. I mean, that's not the only thing they do. They also go and collect Bamberski because they know he's connected to this.
Well, they have to. It's obvious. And Bamberski had contemplated just having these three men just off Krombach instead of bringing him back. But they know he's tied into this and they're going to arrest him for kidnapping and a whole litany of other charges.
Now, a couple of other notes here. Krombach was seriously injured because of the beating he took, and he spent some time in the hospital, actually two different hospitals. Bamberski had promised these men $26,000, essentially, for their efforts. I believe he didn't get to pay them because he was arrested.
He had $26,000 on his person at the time of his arrest, and coincidentally, they set his bail at, wait for it, $26,000. So French authorities are now able to essentially finish out their first trial with Krombach. But this time, he's charged with manslaughter instead of murder. But the sentence is still 15 years. Krombach's lawyers pleaded that their client should be acquitted because he was being used in a battle between French and German justice systems, and they claimed that there was major discrepancies between both sides. They were calling for double jeopardy, all kinds of defenses for him. Now, during this trial, Krombach would actually address the courtroom, and he swore to the jurors that he had never hurt Kalinka in any way. So the jurors found him guilty of involuntary manslaughter and sentenced him to 15 years in prison. So all of his defense was for nothing, but Andrei Bamberski is finally seeing justice 29 years later. Of course, Krombach is going to appeal this in 2012. There were a lot of victim impact statements read against him from numerous women that he had raped, and the courts would end up rejecting his appeal.
One of the things that stood out to me reading about this case was that Danielle seemed to support the doctor for a long time. And even after she divorced him, it seemed like there wasn't this drive to get justice for her daughter because she felt like, well, she died and who are you going to blame? But it was at this trial that Danielle really started digging in to all of the information. I think part of that was because she had found out about his infidelities and his questionable actions with the teenager because of the rape. So now she's starting to think, wait a minute, maybe he did this to Kalinka, just as Andre had said. You know, in the reports, she's imploring Dieter to come clean. Tell everyone what you did. Tell us the truth.
So on April 2nd, 2014, his appeals were rejected. Now, Andrei Bamberski is going to have to go to trial for kidnapping. And that starts on May 22nd of 2014. Obviously, Krombach was not present. He was incarcerated and having a lot of health problems at the time. Bamberski would actually take responsibility for hiring the kidnappers. However, he claimed that he did not have any intention to pay the kidnappers, even though he had that large amount of cash on him. His lawyer said that he would plead for the release of his client, arguing that he was only being a good father, wanting the man that killed his daughter to pay for what he did. So they're not even denying it, really.
It's an emotional appeal. They're saying, if this was your daughter, wouldn't you fight for justice? I mean, the entire system had let him down.
So on May 23rd in 2014, the prosecutor requested that Bamberski serve a 6-month suspended sentence in the kidnapping of Dieter Krombach back in 2009. They also had the kidnappers all get 1-year prison terms for their roles in this kidnapping. Two of the kidnappers were found and had admitted to this, but Ivan, the Russian, it said that they never tracked him down.
Andrei talked about, you know, his vigilantism, I guess you could call it, his distributing the leaflets and all of this, bringing the pressure down on Dieter for his crime. And he said that he had a lot of people telling him, knock it off, stop doing what you're doing, move on with your life. The way he described it was, if I didn't do the best I could to bring justice for my daughter, then I couldn't live with myself. You know, we talk about what's inside that drives him. It wasn't going to be denied. You know, you said it was vengeance, but I think it was a mix of things. It was just like a fire in him. And the only way to put it out was to see this man in court, the man that killed his daughter. Because, you know, you're hiring men, you could have hired people to kill him.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when we talk about vigilantism and we want to judge it and we want to say, this is wrong, shouldn't do this, we have authorities for a reason. Well, on Andre's side, he didn't have him killed. He had him beat up and he had him delivered to the authorities in France. But, I mean, it could have been a lot worse. He could have had him murdered.
He still circumvented the system. But the French authorities admitted, hey, we liked what you did. They were fully on board with it. But they had to, as a formality, charge him with kidnapping. Although he did all the footwork for the justice system. Andrei Bamberski was sentenced by the criminal court of Mulhouse to 1 year of prison time, but it was suspended. Now, Bamberski says that he was disappointed because he claims the court did not recognize that he had acted out of moral constraint. They had to charge him with something, and they suspended the sentence. He would not request an appeal for his charges. Later in 2016, Krombach would again appeal due to medical reasons. His health was failing. He was 82 years old, and living behind bars at that age, not real easy. So he wanted to be released based on that, and it took the French authorities a while to make a decision. And in 2017, the French Court of Appeals rejected Krombach's sentence suspension request. They said that his health was compatible with the sentence and that he still had 10 more years to serve. I had come across this case from a movie called In Her Name. I'm pretty sure it's in French. At least the version I found was in French with subtitles. There are multiple articles and books about this case. Check them out. You know, it has all the intrigue of vigilantism, a serial rapist and murderer, and a father's drive for justice.
For those of you who like documentaries, in 2006, there was a filmmaker who produced a documentary. Her name is Hilda Sinning, and she made a film titled Kalinka's Last Journey. She interviews two sisters who said that they were befriended by Dr. Krombach, and he took them on holiday trips, and he injected them with the iron cobalt compound and raped them. They tried telling their mother, but their mother didn't believe them because she said Dr. Krombach is a good guy. The filmmaker ran into some trouble with Krombach, who accused her of lying, but as we all know, she has evidence on her side.
I don't know. How do you feel about what Andre Bamberski did? Do you think he's justified? Do you think he's right? What would you have done in that situation?
When I hear about what Danielle was told by her husband, Dieter Krombach, that Kalinka had somehow died from heat stroke or that it was the delayed effects from a car accident she had had in Morocco in 1974, that this supposed concussion had finally caught up to her. This was off the rails at that point. And knowing that the German authorities, despite evidence of a rape, despite all these multiple injection sites on Kalinka's body, which the doctor could not adequately explain, the fact that they didn't move forward, this is the frustration that Andre had to deal with. We can say you shouldn't go around the law, but you know, despite what you would claim would be going outside the law, he still in the end took this through the system. So it's not like he took it outside the system and left it there. No, he went around a little bit, but then brought Dieter Krombach into the French justice system. This is a father doing what he feels he has to for his daughter.
He showed some restraint in what he did.
And if he had gone beyond that, if he had committed murder, I'm sure he would have argued that because of what Dieter did, it drove him to that. And he would have tried that sympathy card, but he didn't do that. We didn't even have to go there. So to me, in the end, despite pretty much everyone abandoning Andre, he went through his savings. He burned everything up just trying to get justice here. It seemed as though it paid off. Whatever it took to bring justice for his daughter's case was worth it. Now he can sleep at night. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.